Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 Fan, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Ben.
I tried to throw you in it. You're such a pro. I tried to say that in a weird cadence, and even then you're like, yeah, we'll just do it.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, you want me to respond to your hello?
No, it's fine. I just thought I was going to throw you off guard. You have said to me you feel like our good mornings to end the shows need to have a little bit of different, like, we need different versions of them. So I tried to throw something at you a little different.
Yeah, I think, here's the thing. I think when it happens organically, that's cool, and, like, I'm not against it. Sounds like there's maybe a little too much thought your part.
Just here. Happened right then and there.
Just a
bolt of lightning. It was like what it was like? Old school cartoons?
Yeah.
It's like the literal light bulb above my head. Like, yeah. I'm going to give them something a little different.
I mean, the way you broke it down after the fact would, like, kind of counter that idea.
Just a lot buzzing in my brain. It's the difference between the two of us. Like, your thoughts at this time of day, like, not, like, rehearsed by any means, but very much, like, hashed out. And it's like, yeah, I have those as well. But until you really, like, rattle me into a topic, it's all just free conscious.
What would happen
here
if you were driving the bus here?
Generally speaking, it's funny. It is, like, the difference between the way I think most people start shows in general, but specifically morning shows, and me. A day like today would have been hard for me to start a morning show, because I usually like not rehearsed, but I kind of know where I'm going with it. Like, I like a big, sexy intro. Like, there's nothing more fun for me than after, like, let's pretend it was earlier this week, which Ben Nicholson-Smith chastised us for, I think rightfully, laying out the possibility of it being one of the best moments of the Blue Jays season when Babe Schneider hit the two-run shot off Josh Hader. It's like, I would have had a big, sexy, like, spiel almost off the top of, like, and the Babe is going deep and da-da-da, like, almost something like that, as opposed to you kind of wading into the waters. And like I said, it's, like, just different strokes for different folks.
The Babe going deep.
Well, I don't think I would have just said, like, the Babe goes deep. See, it's weird to do it retroactively, but it would have been something like, you know, good blank morning, it was. Decent day to be a Toronto sports fan. The Blue Jays are getting blanked in Houston. Everything is falling silent, and just when we needed it most, the Babe comes through. I think it would have been something along those lines. Then I would have thrown it to you. But this is why you drive the bus, because I just think that would be odd to throw it to you in that manner. Do you have you go like, hello? Hello, friends.
Okay, so it's the show after the 72 Summit Series. Paul Henderson just scored against the Russians.
Yeah.
How are you starting that show?
It's actually funny, because I don't know that there's a moment in my life that I have relived more, because I don't know if they still have it there. But at the Hockey Hall of Fame, like, when I was a kid, it was like, go into the broadcast booth. It's actually very telling of what I was going to do with my life, that my buds are being seven-year-olds, and they're like, oh, they fell down, and there's, you know, just being dumb seven-year-olds.
Yeah, you're like, this
and I'm like, excuse
real.
Me. Yeah. Excuse me.
Someone's going to be listening to this.
This goal was scored long before I was a thing, but on the anniversary of my birth, like, I've always held the Paul Henderson goal as, like, this sacred thing, partially because of that. So, yeah, if it was the day after that, I would have been like, eat it, Russia, something, geopolitics.
Oh, good.
Their version of Putin at the time.
Yeah.
Good guys win.
Yeah.
It would have been, again, like, a little more exciting than that.
Okay. No, it's an interesting window into your mind.
Well, it's also like, it's good for you to know we have that in the chamber.
Okay, yeah.
You're like,
feel free.
Let me put it this way. We're going to need some more good things to happen to any sports teams, given the tenor of the last show we did, but specifically the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So, like, what if we were in Pittsburgh doing Pittsburgh sports radio today? Would it be Sidney Crosby off the mat? You counted him out. You said Kyle Dubas was done. And you know what? They're not. 2 points back of a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. I also think I maybe didn't do a good job of explaining it, because I don't like to come just screaming off the top. Oh, okay. I like it to be more of like a bubbling pot or cauldron, if you will. Like, where it's like, oh, how we doing? Good morning. Bit of us. Okay, so again, like, I'll give you a Coles Notes version of it if we were in Pittsburgh. Bit of a sleepy game. You never see that with, and I'll just do the names that were using on the broadcast last night because it was driving me nuts. The Great Eight and Sid the Kid. And just when you out there, not us in the great city of Pittsburgh, but you all out there were doubting Sidney Crosby and his band of merry men. charging back to a playoff spot. Something along those lines. Again, right. Hard to do it when I don't have the, like, fervor for... I mean, again, we'll talk about this.
Yeah, but you can't fake it.
Well, yeah, you can't.
You just fake it. I fake it a lot.
Yeah.
Faking it right now.
So you're... Hold on. So you're more enthused and you're restraining yourself? No, you're
I'll
faking...
Never tell.
You're faking being awake.
You'll never know.
Yeah, All right. I think I got the gist of it.
All right, here's what
That was a fun sojourn to Lord knows where.
Here's what I would do is if I was doing a Toronto radio show...
Yeah.
On a Friday,
yeah,
with no Toronto teams playing.
Let me do that for 6 minutes.
And, you know, Leafs not even practicing yesterday. I'd say, hey, this Penguins team, who we did bury a couple of weeks ago, and rightly so, in an embarrassing season after acquiring the $10 million 100-point defenseman Erik Karlsson, Kyle Dubas, after departing Toronto with his tail between his legs, overplaying his hand, arriving in Pittsburgh, getting a near decade-long deal to be one of the highest-paid executives in the National Hockey League. Yeah, that might not be embarrassing anymore because Sidney Crosby, despite not having a point yesterday, despite not having a shot on goal, his Hart Trophy candidacy continues to build as the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, we're getting that was kind of a throwback rivalry game, and you're right to say that it didn't exactly have the same feel as when those two were like Stanley Cup contenders and those guys were
hat tricks. Yeah.
Yeah. Sidney Crosby, like I said, is re-entering the Hart Trophy conversation, but it was like not that long ago. We're talking about, is Alex Ovechkin, like, this is going to be an embarrassing trod towards history because he's going to have to play 15 more years at 5 goals a year to pass Gretzky. But still, something on the line, late career for those two teams, and the Penguins coming out on top, finding themselves just 2 points back of the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. And it's a bunch of, I think, cannon fodder teams playing to get into the Eastern Conference. But there's no debate that that's an intriguing race down the stretch. Like, if you're looking at the thing that's most interesting, unless you're into home ice advantage or teams winning divisional titles, which... Do they raise banners for? Like, if the Leafs ever won the Atlantic Division, would there be a banner going up at Scotiabank Arena?
God, no. No. Not a chance.
Okay, well, we don't know, because it hasn't happened.
Yep.
But yeah, other than that, West is pretty much home and cooled out, as the Blues are 7 points back of a playoff spot. This is all we got in the Eastern Conference, and boy, there's one team that I think... you can squint and make a case for giving a first-round opponent some pushback, and it's the Pittsburgh Penguins who might just make it, Brent.
Yeah, it's the wild card, but it's also like that third spot in the Metro, right? Like, the Flyers are there with 83 points. That's one of the teams the Penguins are chasing, but it's like there are four teams within 2 points of the third spot in the Metro, with the Flyers, the Islanders, the Capitals, the Penguins. And yeah, none of those teams are... a scary matchup for a first round team. The Penguins are a scary matchup because of one guy, really. You know, it's about the core, and you know, we shouldn't completely dissuade what Geno Malkin would mean in a playoff series, or a guy like Chris Letang, or even Erik Karlsson. But let's be honest, it's about one guy. But Sidney Crosby's dragged this team into the playoffs in years past and got swept by the Islanders, so it's not to say that it would necessarily go all that differently, but I just think there's no story at all that would be better. I mean, I suppose the Philly thing, if you're a believer that, we get three more good tort sound bites out of that, but there's no one on Philly that we all of a sudden feel differently about, or we're having, you know, a moment with, Morgan Frost and Travis Konecny. Like, it's not doing it for most people. And then even the Islanders, like, again, it's the coaching story there. It's Patrick Waugh, and as exciting and fun as that would be, no, it's nothing close to the story that it would be to have the Caps or Penguins get in at this point in time. And obviously the Pens are a way better story. Part of that is just, you know, the way we feel about one of those guys versus the other. But yeah, it's an amazing race of teams that if we were doing like a playoff panel, if I was the commissioner of the playoffs, maybe we just have one less team this year. Maybe none of you deserve a spot is actually how I would feel about all this.
Yeah.
Or actually, I guess it'd be two of you, because one of them's going to get it in the Metro and one of them's going to get it in the Wild Card.
Yeah. Okay, so just checking into Sports Interactions, Hart Trophy odds. Not to be found is Sidney Crosby, not in the top four. Nathan MacKinnon, the favorite. Nikita Kucherov, second favorite. Connor McDavid coming up third. And Auston Matthews, well down the track at fourth. And if we're going to go by counting stats, despite the fact that this is another point per game season for Sidney Crosby, it's not on the level of the guys at the top of the Art Ross race. And then, you know, Auston Matthews has a not outside chance at 70 goals. But it is the most valuable player award, Brent. And it's different. This is a sport unlike baseball where it's like, well, your value is there's no ancillary thing that you can impart on your team, I don't think, in baseball other than the statistics that you provide. And, like, the defense is, like, one of the maybe things that it's harder to quantify. But we have a pretty good – we're getting better, right, at quantifying what that is. The whole package, pretty easy to identify in Major League Baseball. One thing the NHL has going for it is this, like, it's not an individual sport at all. It's not even like basketball where it's like the one guy taking the shot, right? It is a collective. It is a free-flowing, nebulous-type sport. You can make the argument for a guy's impact on the ice going outside the numbers. I think it's pretty clear that that happens all the time. I mean, is Sidney Crosby, despite Vegas not believing so, entering the Hart Trophy conversation?
I think the problem is the seasons the guys at the top are having, and I'll throw Matthews as the fourth one in there, are all going to be so spectacular in their own way that it's tough to spin a narrative-based Hart Trophy. And that's what this would be, because if we're doing the actual conversation about this where it's like, well, Sidney Crosby means more to the Penguins than, I don't know, Connor McDavid means to the Oilers, Nikita Kucherov.
We should like lay out what the numbers are. They're unbelievably disparate.
And before
84 points,
go ahead. And
Kucherov is 133.
And then I don't have it in front of me, but the Kucherov forever was leading in the percentage of points above your teammates and the percentage of points that he has. Like, it is just
they have a better record than the Penguins.
Actually, just doing the most valuable to the team thing, there's two choices. There's Nikita Kucherov, and there's whatever goalie you think is the most important to his team, because that's the actual answer to this. If this was the Art Ross year, that should have gone to John Tavares, but because he's so honest, it went to Jamie Benn with 89 points or 87 or whatever it was, then I think you open the door for Sidney Crosby to come riding in on his white horse, and look at him. He's getting the Penguins back to the playoffs, and you can spin a story about what that means. And I think that's a fine thing to do, but not when guys have 130 points and McDavid's going to have 100 assists and Matthews is going to be knocking, at the very least knocking on the door of 70 goals, and McKinnon's doing everything he's doing in a normal NHL season. I am here for this. And I think narrative should play a part when there isn't an obvious winner. Like, I think if there is a converse, and again, especially in a sport like hockey where it is so, when it's close, you really can make your argument for either guy. Then I have time for a narrative entering the discussion. But three, four, however many of them you want to include at the pile at the top, the statistical case is just too, too stark. I love Sid, but come on.
But can't do this. Yeah, but you know what? It would make us feel better to see Sidney Crosby winning the award over Nikita Kucherov, who wouldn't even give us a half-ass effort at the All-Star Skills Competition in Toronto. Come on.
Yeah, I don't want Kucherov to win it for that reason alone. I am that petty, and I'd be fine with it. The other thing that I think is I'd love to know about this, and I don't think the players particularly think about this enough to care, and I would imagine, you know, they do all the voting at roughly the same time, the writers and GMs, and do all their voting for all these various awards. But if the players knew who won the Hart, like let's say they saw somebody found the envelope and they're like, oh man, it's going to be Kucherov. Does that change who gets the Ted Lindsay Award? Like the one that the players are voting on. This is an interesting thing because we don't have this in other sports. Like, we're starting to have it more. It's like, you know, we'll see player polls and stuff, but where it is an official league award handed down, this has gone to McDavid every year that he has definitively been the best guy. The year he was hurt, it went to Dreisaitl. The year Matthews scored 60, it went to him. But other than that, it's kind of gone to Connor McDavid. Kucherov slipped in one year there as well. I do wonder if the players don't like who the, I guess it'd be the writers pick, if they would feel differently. Obviously, again, they're just going to vote at the same time and one won't affect the other. But I do think that's a fun little thought exercise for me.
Yeah, I don't think.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be Crosby, just to be clear.
Yeah. And yeah, I think a vote for Crosby and the case would make is like an anti Kucherov thing. And it's a, like, it seems
again,
more,
so here for
it seems more like a fan thing, because the conversation I want to have next is about the Penguins in general and Sidney Crosby's impact on the neutral fan, right? That has no dog in the fight.
No dog.
Not a Caps fan, not a Flyers fan, but somebody who's, maybe you're a Leaf fan.
Yeah.
And Leaf fans are tough, but I don't know. You're a tough example because you're a Dubas guy, right?
Yeah.
But there's so many that aren't, that are very much, we're enjoying the Penguins' demise this season, seemingly, and being in cap hell, paying Erik Karlsson all the money for forever. Yeah, and the lack of return in a Jake Guentzel trade. But, like,
Michael Bunting scored last night, by the way.
I noticed. No question.
It's a bad goal by Lindgren, but we're not going to quibble with that.
Yeah, he
wearing
was awful.
Number eight, looking weird, by the way.
Yeah.
Single-digit Michael Bunting. I don't know.
Penguins won the game with, like, 20 shots on goal.
That was odd.
Yeah.
Like we said, it wasn't a Picasso. Actually, it was. It looked weird, and in the end, it was very valuable to a couple of people.
Are the Penguins the team in the NHL, if you're a Canadian, because of the Sidney Crosby of it all, that you're rooting for if you have no rooting interest? Like, your second team. Or, like, if you're evaluating the bottom of the Eastern Conference right now, and you're like, hey, my team is home and cooled out, either because it's been eliminated or because they're in the playoffs, and, you know, who really cares about playoff positioning? And, yeah, Lightning also won, Leafs only 2 points up on Tampa, and, like, the idea of playing the Rangers is not out of the realm of possibility at all. It's a very real possibility for the Leafs. Anyways, besides the point, like, are they the team in the NHL that you most likely have a rooting interest for if it's not your team?
I don't think it's even close. The only team, and I want to just go on record to say that this disgusts me, what I'm about to say. I think the only team that maybe can give them a run for their money, and, like, the calls from coming from inside the house, like, I've heard this from, like, our very own Sam McKee. It's like, Vegas is very much a new popular team. I hate it. I loathe it. Everything they stand for, they're shiny buckets. They're being gifted an amazing franchise off the hop. I do think they're kind of coming in that they've never had a misstep. I think that the cap stuff maybe rubs people, but we've been through these wars so many times, specifically in this part with Kucherov. It's like, that's cap enemy number one, not whatever Vegas is doing. I think they're coming, but yeah, it's not even close regarding any other team. In you could see a world where this would have been the Oilers for a 12-year-old, but Connor McDavid's never had a moment that matters for the country. Like, sorry, World Juniors, God love you. You know, I watched them play when they were here at Scotiabank. I remember it fondly. But that stuff doesn't really hold weight the way, I don't know, like a golden goal does.
No.
And because of that, he's never had the chance to kind of catch him. Because quite honestly, you know, I know, crazy thing to say, cups aside, but it's like the Oilers have had a run that kids could get excited about. If you're a kind of, you know, if you're a 12-year-old, the way I was once a, you know, 17-year-old watching Sidney Crosby, I do think there's a chance where that could have been it. But yeah, it's the Penguins, it's the Penguins, it's the Penguins. And honestly, it's not even close. And I think a big reason why as well is that there hasn't been the international hockey. I think that's the thing that makes you care about guys from other markets.
Oh, it's 100% 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Sidney Crosby being the last NHL position player, because Carey Price won it in 2015 to win Canada's Athlete of the Year Award, which is now called the Northern Star. It used to be the Lou Marsh Award.
One day I'll get in that room, Damo, if you're listening.
Yeah, and not to say that Connor McDavid didn't have a legitimate case in years past, like, obviously. But what puts these guys over the top is when they have the international Olympic success. Like, Crosby is Captain Canada. Like, his case is unassailable. Yeah. He's never taken a public misstep, right?
Well, I think that's the other thing that can't be overstated in this. Like, we were banding about this topic last night. I was mentioning to you, like, the Chiefs are the closest team to this. Sidney Crosby is not doing commercials for Pfizer and, you know, like taking a stand. And you know, like, I don't want to overstate this stuff, but like, he's not getting involved in the next Canadian election. Even when he does take a stand on stuff, he's like, don't tell anybody I did that. It's like Sidney Crosby donating, you know, tons of equipment to, you know, groups of color, try to get more diversity in the game. And he's like, ah, could you not? Mm-hmm. Like, no, no, take more stuff. How about I give you more stuff if you don't ever tell anybody I did this? He goes out of his way to never take a stance on anything. And I suppose there is a, I think, a smaller and smaller subsection of people who don't like that either. Mm-hmm. But unlike with the Chiefs, it's like, it's not Patrick Mahomes, but the next most visible guy on that team has a, I don't know, pick your percentage of America that has just decided they're out on him and they hate him. Mm. I don't even think that exists for Crosby either.
Yeah. Chiefs are a good one. I think the Chiefs might be winning too much to be that team in the NFL anymore.
He really threaded the needle perfectly with losing in cup finals and then coming back and winning and then and not always feeling automatic, but always feeling like he's there.
Yes.
God, he threaded it. And I'm sure he would say, disagree.
Yeah.
Give me six.
Yeah.
That I would have threaded more perfectly.
Yeah. I don't know. Are the Bills that team in the NFL because of the like tortured fan base of it all? Like, honestly, the Leafs should be it in the NHL, everybody hates the Leafs.
Well, no, I do. Okay. Not in this country, but I actually do think the Leafs will become that. Should they ever win or go on a run?
Yeah.
I do think
they'll be America's team.
They'll kind of be America's team. It's going to be, which God, what a spot that's going to put me in, but it's going to be Austin. Like there's no world where the Leafs do that. And it's not led on the back of Austin Matthews being incredible.
Yeah. See, cause like,
and all of Canada is lining up to hate them, wanting to dunk on them at every turn. If they do this, they go through all the teams that every other hockey fan base in America cares about. It's like you either go through the Rangers, the Lightning, the Bruins, the Panthers, you go through some you know, combination of that. The Leafs kind of would become America's team.
Ugh. Yeah.
God,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I know. I'm okay with it. And actually, you know what? It's kind of perfect because that would only make the rest of Canada hate us more, and I'd be so okay with that.
You know, I understand it, and again, like I think it should be the Leafs because I mean, tell me if your sports sensibility is this way. I was thinking about the NBA and who this team would be for me. Like it's kind of the Knicks, which is weird.
Oh, I've long made the case that the Knicks are the Leafs like spiritual cousins.
Yeah, I mean it's the Sixers more though because of the tank and because of like the attempted.
Oh, I just mean like franchise wise, not this iteration. It's okay, just like the home of the game. Yeah, it's the Mecca. It's the most famous arena. It's like it was Maple Leaf Gardens and now Scotiabank. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's not this era. If you're if it's era specific, I definitely think the Sixers are a much better foil. But just franchise wise, everybody lining up. Again, the difference though is it's like are people making plan? People loved when Knicks fans celebrated after winning a round. It's like people just make play on the parade jokes about the Leafs.
We're too close. I think it's obviously there's more hockey fans in this country than in the United States. Yeah. But yeah, so the view we get is just, it goes beyond hockey, the like lack of adopting the Maple Leafs because, you know, they show up in, they show up in your arena. Mm-hmm. You hate Toronto because it's the center of this country, because the most people live here, because it gets the most attention.
Hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no debate about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you know what? Let's take a break.
Can we just have that sent over to the fine folks in Calgary and Vancouver if they just are looking for some content today? I think they would specifically enjoy the last 10 minutes of that or so.
Oh, yeah.
Just send that along.
I think we can absolutely do that. When we come back, Blue Jays going to play an afternoon game in the Bronx today. And they're going to try and get a hit. They're going to try and do so against a former Blue Jay. Marcus Stroman makes the Yankees start on their opening day today. Also, I went to Rogers Center. Give you a report on how the renos look.
Can't wait.
And how the food tasted.
Mm.
Here's a spoiler. Good. All right, when we come back, more of the Fan Morning Show. Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports at 5-9, The Fan, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning. Good news. Look, forecast looks good in the Bronx. Like for early April, in the Northeast.
It's like good if you want to sneak in a baseball game, but not good if you wanted to swing the type of sticks we like. Like bad
golf
weather.
I mean, you probably could play. I'm not going to play here. Okay. I had a tee time originally.
Thought about her.
Yeah, when the forecast looked better, but like 5 degrees and like chance rain.
Oh, yeah, buddy, it's coming. It's right around the corner. You're
next
fine.
Week. Yeah, next week fine. Is going to be good. Anyways.
I know. I derailed you. I stuck in my little golf topic.
Yeah, you don't have to. It doesn't take much.
No, I know. It's perfect. Like I just throw down the spike strips and you're like, golf conversation.
Yeah, back on the rails. All right, Blue Jays, Yankees home opener. Very excited Yankee fans because they got Juan Soto and Aaron Judge is healthy and Giancarlo Stanton, he's healthy and everything's coming up Yankees. That's great. They're off to a 5-1 start. Blue Jays only a game under 500, but boy, the offensive start is rough as they've been no hit and one hit already in the early days of this season. My favorite thing is, people not dissuading you from the idea that the home pressures really were partly to blame for the huge split discrepancy between home and road for both Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Dalton Varsho. That's bad news if you believe that to be true, because it's going to be worse, right? Like, it's going to be even worse. Like, Dalton Varsho actually had, a pretty good opening day game and came to his first game at Rogers Center with, decent statistics, and he's off to a worse start. Vlad actually was off to a good start last year, and it never manifested in any positivity for either guy at Rogers Center. Who's most in the crosshairs right now when it comes to this team's unbelievably slow offensive start?
Well, I mean, we can go micro or macro on this, because ultimately it's the guy who put this team together is who's in the crosshairs. I've already heard the bubbling resentment regarding the higher you go up and up on the ladder in terms of who put the team together. But from a player standpoint, it's only one guy. It's Vlad. We can sit here and we can talk about Varsho and him needing to be better and, proving some worth to the trade. It's probably never going to be anything close to even a wash, given what we think Gabriel Moreno is going to be. And Bo Bichette, we've talked about the expectations, but it's going to be Vlad. That's the guy that's going to be squarely wearing the crosshairs of this team. Because, again, pick any of the other eight guys that are going to be in the lineup for that home opener. And they'll all be performing below expectations unless this season in the Bronx goes gangbusters. They're all going to be performing under expectations. But the only one guy that people still expect, there's only really two guys that the general public expects things from in this lineup. It's like they'd like things from George Springer. They understand he's longer in the tooth. Justin Turner's been a nice story. Maybe you're a Kirk guy. Okay, that's cool. But it's Bo and Vlad. And guess what? One of those guys, generally speaking, does what is expected of him and leads the American League in hits. And the other one of those guys is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And it's just, that's going to be the guy who's going to wear it. And it's not fair. Part of the reason he wears it so heavily is because there is not a lot of other support beams in this lineup.
It's very fair.
Well, okay, it's fair for him to wear it, but there also should be some more kind of load-bearing walls. It shouldn't just be two guys that you're building the entirety of a lineup around. But yeah, it's going to be Vlad.
I think it's fair when you're him and you're now making the money that he's making, right? He's not making the money he will make if he realizes his potential and his free agency in 2 years. He's making real money now. He's making almost $20 million this season. The reason, though, I don't think it is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., because as bad as last season was, and it was bad, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., there's no more he was pretty good. The expectation, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s 2023 season was bad. He was bad because he plays first base and he was barely an above average offensive player. Mm-hmm. And the defenses, we've seen this, this guy won a gold glove. Yeah. I mean, it tells you all you need to know about the importance of defense at first base, right? It's where you put
the
guy.
Can you rake? Yay or nay? Yeah.
It's where you put the guy who has no defensive position, Miguel Cabrera, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., yada, yada, yada. Anyways, as bad as he was last year, as bad as you think he might be this year, he's still going to be at least an average to above average offensive player. He's going to have a week or two where he does carry this team or comes up with a big home run or comes up with a huge RBI. I think the guy that's going to wear it more, because the potential very much exists that his offense makes him unplayable, which he was oftentimes last season, and the equity that they've given up to acquire this player, mm-hmm. and the position that they put him in once again to start yep. the season, it's not fourth, it's fifth, mm-hmm. is Dalton Varsho. To me, it is Dalton Varsho. And boy, is it interesting. We'll talk about my little sojourn to Rogers Center, which you were going to go, but you had...
Yeah, sick job.
Yeah, you had sick job. Yeah. Or he's faking shit, sick or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know they could do that at three.
Yeah, well, it's good. Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
Talking about the go to the driving range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. For sure.
Great.
No, you're in trouble. You got big problems up ahead. But...
Like from our boss, Fabro's bad. No, I didn't go. Oh, no. With my child, right? With ruining your my life.
Now
right.
that, yeah, he's like three and he's like, oh, I can just like say, not feeling so great. And then daddy comes home and
you know, have, same have a rules good time. When I was sick, home, my daddy just turn on video games, don't talk to me.
We're going to get to that quick. That sounds good to him, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would have taken that as well yesterday.
Anyways, some of the conversations I was having. Off the record with some people about like, hey, how
record here.
This is called like getting information on background.
Mm.
Okay. So you don't attach names to this.
Let me write that down. Go to J school here.
Yeah. Information on background. Not a lot of people like in their honest moments are like, oh yeah, it's just a blip. Like, come on, let's not freak out. It's cup seven games. Like this offense can be fine. And you know, Dalton Varsho is a good hitter. That one I didn't hear. I didn't hear, like, Dalton Varsho's got it going on. Don't you see the swing? It looks amazing. Kind of heard the opposite.
Yeah.
And if that's the guy, again, like, look at your 5-9 hitters. Mm-hmm. Hard to imagine either any of these guys really emerging as some offensive force. He's the one guy that you're like, well, maybe. Like, even if he goes back to the Arizona guy, but that was just a slightly above-average offensive player. Like, what we saw last year, you get a repeat version of that. Like, that guy was unplayably bad, not just against lefties. Yeah. Like, against lefties, one of he or Kevin Kiermaier is not playing in the game. But it might get to the point where I don't care what kind of amazing defender you are right. in left field. If you're going...
No, say that again. In left field.
Right. Yeah, like, look at the cast of characters that have ever played left field. It is maybe even more so than first base, the place that you put your no defense big bat. If that continues, which is more realistic than Vlad, he can't get any worse, honestly, than last year.
I think it just goes to maybe the way like you see the world, for lack of a better term. It's like the second, I shouldn't say the second, but about a month into the Blue Jays season, I had written off Dalton Varsho ever coming close to providing value for that trade. And maybe that was completely unfair, but boy, scoreboard. I've been right on that one, and I've been hardly alone on that island. I just think I'd kind of written off the player, and to your point, I'm sure there are a lot of people that will not have done that, who will be still invested, obviously the franchise is, but the fan base as well. So I'm sure there will be people who are expecting more things from him, but I guess it's maybe my expectations of the player versus what the team needs him to be and other people, and that's why I think it's going to be Vlad, because I think that it also goes to frustration with the way it was built, because again, not that there should ever be pressure off of Vlad given the pedigree, given what we've seen him do and given the way he's paid, but there should be a couple of other guys that you can point to. And, you know, part of it is, like I mentioned, like the age with Springer. You're not going to sit here and ask him to be 28-year-old George Springer. I mean, he like literally was never that as a Blue Jay.
Yeah.
So I Justin Turner, it's like he's 40 years old. I've already... consider them having won the Justin Turner signing, given what they've got out of him to a certain extent. So that's why I think it's just going to go back to Vlad, is I've already kind of put Varsho, you know, to do a Leafs thing here. It's like, he's on team B. Okay. Mm. He's not in the core four. So I mean, put any of it on. No.
The offense he provided is like team F.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
And that's why. And because of that, that's why I think so little. It's the madman.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think about you at all.
Yeah, I mean, if he does that in his second season as a Blue Jay, I don't know how there's any salvaging. Like, that you can talk about his defense till you're blue in the face.
Are you surprised they haven't, and I know part of it is, like, Kiermaier's been useful for them, but are you surprised they haven't just said, no, you play center field? Like, we need to get something out of this.
I mean, that appeared to be the plan headed towards this season. And I guess they felt that Kevin Kiermaier just fell into their lap and they had to do something. They had to have a backup plan. But yeah, I think you're going to see two pretty similar players this season.
Has a guy ever needed short porch Yankee Stadium love more in his life than Dalton Varsho?
Sure. I mean, yeah, maybe. We'll see. I mean, Rogers Centre was supposed to play pretty well for left-handed hitters last year as well, and it didn't.
I'm trying here, Ben.
I just want to go back to the pressure thing.
Yes.
One last second before I move on to something else. Again, like this is, hey, we've heard really smart people say, yeah, you know what? The pressure of playing at home, new ballpark, all that, that may have gotten to Vlad and Dalton Varsho. Varsho, new team, that's tough.
Sure.
Who's under more pressure than Davis Schneider? Again, like I keep shoehorning Davis Schneider topics in, but it makes me laugh. It's like, oh, no, Vlad's under pressure because like he might not be regarded as the best player in the game and might only get $20 million a year in free agency. And like Bo might be the best player on the team. And Dalton Varsho, who's, again, like going to be forced into action every single day.
Yeah.
It's like might, you know, have his playing time reduced a little bit, but no doubt is going to get into arbitration and one day hit free agent. Like Davis Schneider, you don't hit this week, your career as a major leaguer may be over.
Yeah.
And you don't have a good performance in your two appearances this season. Maybe, yeah, you are just a platoon guy. And then like you go five starts against left-handed pitching and you don't get a base hit. Goodbye forever. Like, don't come to me with the, like the home pressures are part of the reason that Vlad and Dalton Varsho struggled at Rogers Centre last season.
I like almost disagree, or I like agree with both parts of that, I should say. It's like I hear what you're saying about the home pressures and don't give me that. But I also do not want to poo-poo the pressure that, and to your point, they're just completely different, but I think the pressure of having stakes is so much more than the pressure of playing free and loose. And yeah, it's like he wouldn't be a major league ball player, but Davis Schneider, his whole life growing up at every single turn at 15, at 14, at 13, he thought he was going to be a big league ball player. Like there was never a moment in his time where he went, yeah, I'll probably have to sell insurance or something. I think the idea of the stakes of having to live up to the, and this isn't, don't take this as me going, oh, poor Vladdy. No, deal with it. Overcome it. The stakes are beautiful. It's what makes sports and life worth living. But I don't think you can poo-poo Varsho. I feel very differently about this. It's like, sure, new team, first time being traded, throws you for a loop. I can hear all that. The pressure of viewer
Both are sons of major leaguers.
Well. They're okay. Yeah, not exactly the like being Vladimir Guerrero Jr. born in Montreal and doffing your cap to that. Like it's a little different than being Dalton Varsho. Like it is a little, it's a little different. The thing I keep coming to, or I come back to with this, is that I don't want to undercut the point you're making about Davis Schneider and like staring down his professional life. I just think it is just as much, if not infinitely more pressure to try to live up to the name. And yeah, it's like, but
what?
Because, okay, your argument is that, and it's like, I don't know, maybe this is the way I think about it. Your argument is that Vlad doesn't live up to it. He completely flames out. Worst case scenario, he's a millionaire.
Set for life.
Yeah, and he just has
to. And he's always going to be on a major league roster, right? And that's the other thing, too. If you're like, well, it's not just about money. It's like, okay, well, so what? Like, someone will always convince themselves that there's something, the 2021 season is still in Vlad. Like, he will all, like, can you imagine? Worst comes to worst. Like, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. one offseason has to sign a one-year deal in Pittsburgh.
Right.
You don't think they're, like, having a parade in Pittsburgh?
I guess, and part of it's just the way I view things, is that I think it is just as bad, more so worse, but definitely just as bad to have to sit there living with the failure of not living up to being Vladimir Guerrero Jr. than it is to be a, and again, like, I don't want to put this on this guy, but to go to Davis Schneider and be like, all right, well, you gave it a run, you gave it a try, and guess what? You, like hundreds of thousands of people, did not get to stick in the major leagues. Like I really think that, and I just know myself, I would sit there every day thinking about what a failure I was. Whereas if I was a Davis Schneider, it's like, all right, I gave it my all. I gave
what?
It a go.
You wouldn't never be like driving your Uber thinking about like, hey, what it could have been. Like, no offense.
Well, I guess the argument is that, and again, it's like, maybe this is like just how I feel about myself. It's like, well, it never would have been. I was, again, I don't want to make this about David Schneider.
No,
he's actually doing
but Brent, that's not the way, like there are more than a few guys that have like,
I know,
like, that would argue. And there's hockey players, same deal.
I've talked to tons of golfers who are three shots away from making
like,
a Corn Ferry.
If I just had like sliding doors, it's like not a huge difference. And what, like, if I just shown something in my brief foray, and like I learned something in my second tour of duty in the minor leagues, and if I just applied that the first time and got, like, that would honestly haunt me to my grave.
Okay.
And especially if David Schneider, who I keep bringing to the forefront,
because he's your son.
No, but I keep bringing this point to the forefront, and people need to be reminded, like, he has had an incredible minor league career. He's been a very good minor league player, but if he went back to the minor leagues, kept doing that, he's like, why couldn't I translate that at the major leagues? If they just give me like a longer run, I could have figured this thing out. But it's not the way it works when you're a whatever 18th round pick.
No, I you know what I just realized as you said that, it's like, I think what's coloring my perception of this is like most of the people, the athletes that I've had those conversations with, are golfers. And they've told me their story about, I needed to go.
Yeah, but is just pure performance.
And that's what I was going to say.
That's why you can't keep a golfer away.
That's
right?
Exactly it. And that's what I was going to say.
Either you made your putt or you didn't in the final hole of qualifying school.
There's definitely some, but it's like you either hit a ball over the fence or you didn't. And I know baseball's a long track record sport.
He's done that in the minor leagues. It's not the same, right? Like there's lots of guys who you're like, oh man, that guy retired from professional baseball. Mm-hmm. Matt Haig, Blue Jays hitting coach.
Whatever, philosophy.
And he had a moment in the Major Leagues of Baseball, but his minor league track record is, like, amazing. He's one of the, like, all-time minor league home run leaders.
Yeah.
You don't think that guy thinks, like, hey, man, if I'd just gotten a kick of the can a little bit longer? Eric Thames, another guy, former Blue Jay.
Yeah, mashing in Asia. Yeah,
and came back and got a contract in Major League Baseball with the Brewers, and he had some moments, but you don't think that guy was like, well, and injuries were a part of his career too. But there's like a myriad of guys who it's not like, hey, in golf, you shoot 65 a bunch of times. Like you finished at the top of the Corn Ferry Tour. Guess what? You get a whole year on the PGA Tour. That's not the way it works in baseball specifically, but hockey is kind of the same way. Like you can, I mean, look at some of the junior
Josh
hockey numbers to me, that's the most pressure when it's the sliding doors between being a somebody, and listen, I'm a nobody, and being a nobody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, professional athlete is a somebody, being you, me, the other people that are listening to us, most of them, nobody.
I guess, in relative terms. Again, I guess that's it. I'm like, being one of us ain't so bad, but being so close.
Of course it's not.
But then being so close to being, or supposed to have being, not good, not great, transcended, Hall of Fame, all that, and never living up to it, it would eat me alive every single day. And I know you're making the argument of like, yeah, so would the other thing.
Yeah.
But you'd
so your argument is the difference between being a good Major League Baseball player and making millions of dollars and being the best of all time is bigger than the difference between being a Major League Baseball player and a minor league baseball player.
Not in lifestyle or anything like that, but I do think in terms of feeling like you left something on the table or not having scratched the surface. That's what I think, yeah.
I think that's an insane take.
Okay.
Yeah, but agree to disagree. Marcus Stroman on the mound for the Yankees tonight, who I think still has a Toronto tattoo, right? Doesn't he? Doesn't he have like the Toronto skyline tattoo? Yeah, it's a little bizarre.
I have to be honest.
That's
I'm
like
not...
the Johnny Depp, like Winona Ryder tattoo that he had to like get changed to Wino. Yeah.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want him doing that to our city. I don't know. Maybe change it to like a portrait of a raccoon or something that's like a little more. Could be many locales. I'd be lying to you if I was super up to date on Marcus Stroman's ink.
Yeah.
I know he inked a contract, but in terms of the ink on his body, I got nothing for you.
I'm pretty sure he has a Toronto tattoo. But
it
does feel.
Asked him about it.
He feels like a favorite son here, right? Had some great moments as a Blue Jay. And
depending who you ask.
I mean,
the moments were great, but the favorite son thing is definitely depending who you ask.
By a fan? Like, who? What fan has bad things to say about Marcus Stroman?
Not, I want to be clear, not me, but I think there are many people who were rubbed the wrong way by the, and again, like, don't lump this on me, but the, like, look at me nature of it. There always had to be a story. I don't want to overstate it that it's everybody, but I think there's a pretty sizable amount of people in the fan base that have that, it's always a story. There, and again, this isn't me. Don't put this on me, but I feel like this is very much a thing that bubbled up even when he was no longer here. It's like anytime his name would kind of pop up in the news, it just seemed like that sentiment was, I don't know, gurgling around for me.
I mean, to me, that felt like the old head thing that was, it was more, people used it as a straw man than a real person that was having those takes. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm too close to it. Although,
I'm thinking of exactly one mutual friend of ours for sure that I'll tell you about later, but I don't think they're on an island.
Yeah, okay, maybe. You know who I think is maybe in that camp is, like, this Blue Jays front office who, yeah, I mean, it wasn't the only reason why, and he was approaching free agency, but he was summarily dismissed. Like, he was shipped out of town unceremoniously. Yeah. A guy that was a very passionate player, there's no question about it, and it's not hockey, right? Like, it's not like, the only thing missing from this generation of Leafs team is the passion.
It was nice to have a guy unapologetically, like especially a proud, boisterous, loud American, talk about how great Toronto was. Like, I do think that can't be kind of overstated.
Yeah.
Or understated.
No, I think he was almost universally beloved as a Blue Jay. Obviously, they won't be rooting for him this afternoon in the Bronx. All right, I want to talk about my trip to Rogers Center yesterday.
Please, regale me.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
So I think for the average fan, last year's renos are the thing that's going to have the most impact on your Blue Jays game experience, right? Like the open spaces, the right field, the fifth deck, like those those areas where you can spend the $20, you don't have a seat, and you just walk around. Although there's an addition to that. Honestly, the thing that I should have tweeted about and that not enough people are talking about, there are drink rails around the entire stadium now.
That. Love that. I'll
because
take that back.
If there was one nitpicking of those open spaces last year, is they get jammed up real fast.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're not one of the first people into the ballpark, you got no shot.
Tight, tight, tight.
But now there's more areas to stand. And the 100 level seats are moved closer to the action. There's less of them, so there's less seats actually underneath the overhang. You're like barely under the overhang, if you're under the overhang at all, if you're on a rail at the top of the 100 level.
Oh, okay. I like that.
So love that. The corners a little different, especially the left field corner, because it's been built up. Like the retaining wall is much higher. And there's some, I honestly, maybe this gives you some insight into the type of person I am. I love the idea, like, it goes up, the aisle works in such a way that the higher you go up, like, right by the corner, right by the foul pole, there's, like, one seat, I think, one or two seats by themselves right next to the aisle, which is, like, to me, that looks like the best seat
house. Yeah, it was always my favorite seat on the subway, like, the one solo seat. I don't think they
even
have that anymore, yeah.
And something else I didn't, it's not going to impact your fan experience, but obviously the whole idea with this renovation has been to take a multi-purpose facility and turn it into a single-use facility, which is a baseball-only facility.
Ballpark. Yeah.
Which it looks more and more, and now the transition is almost entirely complete. Part of that was the dugouts were also, you know, they were not, they were permanent in quotation marks, but they could be removed, right? When you had your monster truck rally.
This is all news to me.
The dugouts didn't have power outlets.
Oh.
So, like, they had these iPads and they had whatever Theraguns or whatever they were using. They had to, like, run back inside the clubhouse to either grab a battery or charge them. So now they have power running to the dugouts, which is something I never considered.
That feels like a news bulletin from, like, 1824, not 2024. But yes, good to know. I didn't know the dugouts were removable. I got to be honest. I never would have thought that.
Yeah, well, the more you know.
Learn something new every day.
And, new food vendor this year. And even more delicious. I love they have this thing that I'd never had before. Have you ever had this? It's a Jamaican patty, but it's like a stuffed Jamaican patty. So you got like the Jamaican patty I don't know what you call it.
Stuffing.
The outside.
Patty.
Yeah.
Like the actual, like, the casing of the patty.
Yeah, what do you call that? Is it the casing?
No, but, like, people know what you're talking about. The yellow part.
Yeah, the yellow
patty.
Part. Yellow patty part.
That's not what it's called.
Stuffed.
Patty cake.
Stuffed, which was, to me, the best thing I had yesterday.
But, like, what was that? Okay, what is the stuff with, though? Like,
okay,
because
was...
I'm confused, because it's like, generally speaking, there's not just yellow pastry. Like, there is stuff inside of the Jamaican patty.
I've only ever had a Jamaican patty with just meat, right?
Yeah.
No, there was, like, onions
and
tomatoes.
That's what I was getting at. Okay.
Yeah.
You kind of left that out. It's like, I was just here. You're just like, there's a Jamaican patty.
And it's open. They put stuff inside
of it. Yeah. And I'm like, wow.
More
like,
than just beef.
Like the beef that would
normally... No, it's like a taco, except with a Jamaican patty.
See, this is a better visual.
Again, like, I don't like the casing doesn't sound right.
No.
It's not right.
It's the patty part of the patty.
No, the patty part of the patty is the meat part. And the
pastry
or the,
part.
It's the whole... Yeah, pastry.
Okay.
There you go.
I definitely used that word like three times in the.
I don't like that.
You're saying casing. I don't like that.
Nah, I don't like the casing. Anyways,
good job.
All right, when we come back,
honestly, just like great job by you. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, can't you missed wait out. To... You missed out.
I did again. Like yeah, it's like my kid faking sick.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. I was very full. All right, when we come back, Leafs getting set to play their historic rivals tomorrow night.
Their biggest, some might even say.
Not me. What's left to be decided in these final seven games for the Leafs? That and more next as the Fan Morning Show continues. Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.